This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Thomas Jefferson helped create two early American heroes. After the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, Jefferson sent Meriwether Lewis and William Clark west to explore. On the latest National Geographic radio expedition, NPR's Alex Chadwick explores some of the roughest parts of the Lewis and Clark Trail.
From the journals of Lewis and Clark, September 14, 1805.
The mountains we cross today were much more difficult. Steep, stony, broken by fallen timber. We were all very weary.
This is the Locksaw District of the U.S. Forest Service Clearwater National Forest in Idaho. Good maps show it. It's just west of Montana's Bitterroot Valley. And on a ridge somewhere above us, the explorers rested at a small spring. A site now officially lost. It's not on maps. We are going to find it.
I'm Bud Moore. I was a ranger here in the Locksaw for a good many years.
He came here in 1934. He's 83 now, stooped a little but still big, still wearing boots good for the trail or the saddle. When Bud Moore was running trap lines here long ago and becoming a near legendary outdoorsman, he relied on that old spring. But that was before the Forest Service put up markers for such things.
We weren't very historically oriented, it seemed like, in those days. You know, the future was so exciting, I guess.
Now the Forest Service has archaeologists who can read the woods like a chronicle of history. Forest scholars like Jeff Fee.
We've been finding dates as far back as the 1690s.
His data comes from old tree trunks peeled half bare of bark, timber scar tissue, trees the experts call culturally modified.
Early travelers, and especially native groups, for hundreds of years, stripped the bark from the trees in order to get to the sugars. They would travel at times in the spring when the snow was high, and the only food that they could get to would be these trees.
Though Lewis and Clark went through here twice, it's not easy to find exactly where they stopped. They didn't leave artifacts, didn't dribble much, in Bud Moore's memorable phrase.
Okay, I guess it's get in the saddle.
Jeff Fee had invited a couple of Lewis and Clark buffs, a Nez Perce tribal woman from the Forest Service, and others for the ride.
Where we're going is from this point, we're going to get on horseback, and we're going to head up what is now referred to as Wendover Ridge. And it was probably the roughest part of the Lewis and Clark journey.
We tighten it.
You bet.
Bud Moore is old enough to need help getting up and into the saddle.
Come on, give me a hand. I think I can ride it.
And respected enough so that when he settles there comfortably and nudges his horse forward, it's natural for him to take the lead. From a flat area near the Locksaw River, we follow a stream back into the deep, shadowed forest. This July morning is warm and clear, but September 1805 was rainy and cold. It snowed.
When they hit these Rocky Mountains, it was a whole different world for them. And then they hit it in the fall when the rain, snows were coming. They're lucky they got through when they did, because probably another month, and they couldn't have possibly got through with stock.
Tall forest, a narrow trail etched on a mountainside that pitches up at a 65-degree angle. I wouldn't have thought we could get up this, but the journals say they did.
Several of the horses lost their footing and slipped. One rolled over and over for 40 yards till his fall was stopped.
I'm trying to move the horses out of the way so they can get down the bank. There's about 10 of us in this party, maybe a dozen. Well, we're all jammed up here.
Yeah, you can see why Lewis and Clark had some trouble getting up to the break of the hill here. Because I don't know how the Indian trail went, but it was probably steeper than the switchback trail.
Come on, man. Come on.
Now the angle softens a little, though we're still going up. The ridge is sometimes no more than 20 feet wide, falling away fast on the left and the right. Then it broadens into groves of lodgepole pine and thickets of huckleberry. Bud Moore's in front again, following his memories, and a wisp of the Lewis and Clark Trail. Not easy now, not easy then.
Ho, 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 ho. We were obliged constantly to halt and examine, lest we should lose the route.
So right now we had to get off and walk on part of it because there's a very steep branch of this hillside here.
In the afternoon, we come to a clearing. Jeff Fee calls a halt.
Jeff, are we going to walk down to the spring here?
Yeah, we will. It's gonna go right through here. It's about a quarter of a mile from here, maybe a little less.
When he began looking for the spring last year, it took him 1 week to find it. If you know how, you can smell water. He has skills lost to many of us, but which Lewis and Clark likely shared.
September 15th, 1805. We came to a high, snowy part of the mountain where was a spring of water, at which we halted 2 hours to refresh our horses.
Water trickles from under an alder bush, puddles in a low spot, spills over a lip, disappears somewhere downhill.
Bud, is this it? Is this your spring?
Yeah, it probably was. It feels kind of familiar.
This is the lost spring of Lewis and Clark, rediscovered by Jeff Fee, and it is a real find, even though Bud Moore and others before him knew it was here.
Things get lost.
Oh, yeah.
People forget about them. They're
right.
Not written down anywhere, so right. It falls away.
But it's not lost, because it's still written. It just isn't written in books.
Yeah.
It's written in this earth, on this land, in the trees. And I'll show you. Come on up here.
The Nez Perce, Lewis and Clark, old Forest Service rangers, they followed the same forest trails, the archaeologist says. Signs of any are really signs of all.
So you start looking around, and by golly, look at this, axe marks.
On the tree here.
Right on the limbs. They cut these limbs so they could get down through here. And this is along the whole ridge system, the closest point of water to the top of the ridge. And so that's why I'm sure early native groups used it, the trappers used it, Forest Service used it, Bud Moore used it, and I'm pretty certain Lewis and Clark used it too.
Now an old man kneels by a spring where spiritual ancestors, Meriwether Lewis, William Clark, revived themselves so long ago. He lowers his hands to the stream.
That's real cold water. So it must come out from the earth just a little above us here. Yeah. Good water.
And Bud Moore lifts his hands and drinks. 4 radio expeditions on the Lewis and Clark Trail in Idaho. This is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.